This is the M6P with Andy Kirby.
It went out, Andy.
This is the M6P with your host, Andy Kirby.
And Jared Mayo.
That is a wonderful start to our new oomph to this podcast.
Oomph, I like it.
I love it. Oh, I love it. It's great. So, man, you've been under the weather. I mean, are you going to be okay the whole time talking? Because it's going to be you.
No, we're going to do great. You got a new microphone. I have a new chair to sit in. So I think it's going to be a good show.
Wait a minute. You have a new chair? I wasn't aware of this.
I think you saw it when you came out, my Captain America chair. Did you see it?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, what happened to your Captain America chair? Because that one was awesome. Why would you get a new one?
Yes. My Captain America Winter Soldier computer gaming chair is great.
Now, but you are a gamer, though, right?
No, but I work from home, so I needed something comfy. And I figured if people are gaming all day, those must be the most comfortable chairs. You know?
That's good figuring. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that good logic?
Yeah, but like what? So it is like a gaming chair?
Yeah, it's got a footrest and a headrest, and it reclines all the way back. You can lay completely horizontal.
Can I ask you how much this thing ran you?
It was $170.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. I just bought a chair for my office, and it has one of those headrest things that makes you look like Stephen Hawking. I'm always about to say stuff, and I'm like, I don't know if I should say this now that I'm an adult. But so I took that off. I figured out how to unscrew that, and I took it off. Now I feel like I can hold my own head up.
That's probably a good idea. Why would it even be a feature?
It is a feature. Yeah, it is. But I mean, also a feature is being able to do your own work, I guess, and not have something hold your head.
I mean, maybe I feel like I should have gotten one of those. Sometimes I do. My head gets real tired. I just need to relax it.
You work from home, man. I mean, you're fine. People come through. I have a window at my door. And I was just told, like, hey, don't hang your coat on your door because the coat blocks the window and we want to look in and see as we're walking by. And I said, I can't help where the hook is. It's in the middle of the door. I'm supposed to have this sports coat, you know, for special occasions and everything. So I moved the hook, and then they were like, well, you moved the hook? You didn't ask facilities to do that? They were like, do you have holes in the back of your door now? I was like, yeah, you can look through them.
Wow. Ah, well, maybe you don't want to be seen. Like, I put my coat here so you can't look at me.
I know. Foiled again. Foiled.
Yeah, I'm self-conscientious about my looks when I'm here in the office, so don't look at me.
I have many nervous tics, and if anybody pays attention, see, here's the thing. Now I'm like second guessing everything I say because people are like, wait, you're recording a podcast? You have a podcast? Should I be listening to this podcast? And I'm like, no, don't listen. Don't. Anybody I know shouldn't be listening to this podcast except for my podcast friends, right? The people I've met through this podcast. So now I don't know whether I want to share this intimate knowledge, the details. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, once we've reached this spot of our popularity, people do, you know, we have to kind of change how we are.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
We're just huge. I mean, we are the podcast of all podcasts. We have a microphone now. Like, it's crazy.
Well, you made me giggle. So I have these nervous tics that you could see like little spots in my beard that are bald because I'm pulling out the hair and everything. So I don't want necessarily people looking in and watching me pull my hair.
You pull your beard hair?
Some of them I'm like, ooh, that's a stray hair. And then I pull one and I'm like, ooh, that one feels weird too. And I pull one. It's all while I'm reading emails or doing work or something like that.
Oh, well, you got to stop pulling your beard hair out.
I know. Tell me about it. I also find I also find, as long as we're being honest with each other right here, I also find that I bite my knuckles without, yes, without knowing. Like, I sit here and I have like my hand toward my mouth and I'm looking, and that, like, that excess skin that you have on your knuckles. I mean, maybe not you, because you have muscles everywhere, but like normal people, that excess skin that they have on their knuckles, like, I end up, like, I look at it and there's teeth marks. I'm like, was I even biting my knuckle? Like, it's crazy.
Hey, I did not know this about you.
We got to keep this relationship fresh and new. I got to hide stuff from you.
What? Okay, so what if you walked in and one of your kids was just pulling their hair out and biting their knuckles?
That's why I want to cover the window.
Oh, it all comes back around.
So these are the things I got to deal with in my life. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I could think I was trying to get to the point of, I think you might say, hey, child of mine, let's not do this.
Yes. Wrong? So you're telling me my parents failed me is what I'm hearing.
No. Yes. No. No, Bonbon is not a failure. So don't get that, Bonbon. No. I mean, it's just, I'm trying to think of you like, you know what's best. Like, you probably need to stop pulling your hair and biting yourself.
When you say it like that, yes, I concede that point.
Yeah, and you know, really, Bonbon wouldn't want you to bite yourself.
No, she's not here right now. But yes, you're correct. Why don't we shift the conversation of what you've been up to? You've been traveling.
Yes, no biting, no pulling.
Okay, we're shifting the conversation.
Well, I mean, Jennifer got on me years ago about biting my nails, so I did stop. So right. There's that.
Sure.
Yeah, I was in Alabama last week I was in Florida first to visit my sister. And then she drove me to Alabama for work. And I just kind of started at the bottom and drove up doing work at various locations. And I was sick the whole time, which was super exciting to be in Alabama and be sick in a hotel room.
Wonderful. Yeah, that sounds miserable. What kind? Which hotel? What chain of hotel?
They were Marriott's, okay. Spring Hill Suites.
Is that good or bad?
They were better than what I typically stay in, I think. I usually stay in Comfort Suites. I like those a lot because they always look the same and I know what the breakfast is and all that stuff. But my boss wanted something a little fancier, so he booked those for us. And it was fine. It was nice. I got some points. So I got points for my leisurely travels, if you will.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, I had a question. I don't know if you texted me back. I didn't know your sister was in Florida.
Did I not text you back that? I'm sorry. She moved. They built a house near Pensacola and moved there about a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
A year ago, maybe. Yeah. And I had not been down to see the house. And I needed to be in Birmingham, I think. It was like 2 hours from her house. So I just flew down 2 days early and went down to see the house and my niece and nephew, my brother-in-law, and just kind of see that part of Florida, which is not a cool part of Florida. I'll just tell you that. There's not like a beauty there. It's a lot of not beauty. So,
you know, that's very close to where I used to live, right? And you're just saying that area is just not beautiful.
Louisiana, right?
Louisiana. It's about 3 hours, I think. Pensacola, or maybe it's six. I can't remember. It's probably more like six. But I think both my sisters took turns living there.
In Pensacola?
Yeah.
So Pensacola itself looked like it was nice. She took me to somewhere called Navarre, and there was a beach there and a pier and white sand and gorgeous water. She lives in a city called Milton. So, yeah, it just was not my spot. It really wasn't. It isn't even her spot. They built the house without going down to take a look.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then once the house was built, she's like, we were driving there and we felt we were getting closer based on the GPS. And we both looked at each other and said, what have we done?
How do you build a house without going down there and looking where it is?
Yeah, I don't know. This guy doesn't. I do not do that. So, I mean, they built in this like nice division, but it's like the only thing that's nice is that division. Everything else is really run down, very backwoods, lots of appliances in the front yard kind of place.
Oh, my favorite, showcasing your in-house appliances out of the house. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom is from Southern Ohio, and it really kind of took us back to visiting her hometown. There were multiple washers and dryers and cars, all kinds of weird stuff in the front yards of Southern Ohio. So kind of felt like I was there.
That's nice. I mean, it sounds like Africa. It sounds great.
Yeah. It gave me some Togo vibes. But there were lines on the road, so I knew I was not in Togo.
Sure,
yeah, there were no fufu stands on the side of the road.
Right.
So another hint. No random. There weren't like a bunch of animals around. Right. They were all behind the fence instead of there just being no fence.
Okay, so you were definitely not there. Yeah.
No, not in Togo. Probably never.
As we drove past, as we drive past, like there is one, there's two main roads in Togo, in the entire country, two main roads.
In the entire country.
And as you would go, and if you would see a church, their church bell was an old rim that they would bang that was hung up by a chain next to a piece of wood.
Oh.
So yes, that's their church bell. Ting, 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 ting. And they would hit that. So it's probably like where your mom grew up.
In Togo, yeah.
right. I was traveling too. I was in Orlando.
Wait. Oh, yeah, you were. I completely forgot. I was all about Jared. You were in Orlando the week before, weren't you?
Yes. I was in Orlando the week before. We took everybody except Felicity down there because we had this conference. And so we get there and we run, like, there were like three conferences that ran together with different groups of our organization. And so I was there for two of them, the last two out of the three. And another person was there for the first two out of the three. So we overlapped for the middle one. And when he saw me, he was like, "Oh, are your kids excited to be here in Orlando?" And I was like, "No, they have no idea where we are. They don't know we're close to Disney World. Like, they don't know anything. Like, they're just in the car." He was like, wait.
Deidre should know. She's old enough.
I mean, I was talking about the boys. The boys weren't excited. Oh. But Deidre and Ellie, they had just schoolwork they had to do, you know?
Oh, because their teacher's kind of rough, huh?
Yes. No, because it's school time.
I don't care if we're in Florida or not. You're doing schoolwork.
That's true. That's how it went down. So they were like shoved in the condo the whole time.
Oh,
they're fine. They're
aw. So you didn't take them anywhere fun in Orlando?
No.
You shoved them in the condo to do homework.
We went out and ate dinner with a doctor friend of mine that is he was living nearby. And so like we were passing a sign that had like Star Wars and Mickey Mouse and stuff, and the boys were like, "Oh man, look at the Disney sign." I'm like, "Oh yeah, there's a lot of those around here." But they still had no idea.
They're all lies, kids. It's just the pedophiles trying to get you to get candy is what it is. Just,
oh, goodness.
Don't look at signs.
Goodness gracious. But this took a turn.
Your poor boys. They had no idea they were 5 minutes from the happiest place on earth.
No, I mean, I think they even went to Disney Springs and they still had no idea, which is what Disney Springs is like, that shopping center, right?
So you did do something fun with them. Disney Springs is fun.
I didn't do that. I went to San Antonio, Florida to meet somebody to have a meeting. I think Jackie took them. I think they went to the Lego store. So they had fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Did they buy any Legos? No.
She's like, "You can have 5 minutes of not doing schoolwork. Let's go."
Pose right next to Spider-Man made of Legos. We'll get a picture and we'll send it to all your friends.
Then back to work.
That was great.
Was it warm though? Because it's a lot warmer down there than in PA.
Oh, dude, it's freezing here. It was cold the first couple nights there, but then it started to warm up a little bit. Yes.
Yeah.
So where were you? When are you going to California?
The second week of March. I'm going to be there for 4 days.
Oh. But
It's work. So it's not, I don't think it's like go out and have a good time. It's work. So that's okay.
What part of California?
Bakersfield.
Oh, near the base or the post, Army Post? for now?
Not a clue. Not a clue. I think that's like near LA. I think Bakersfield, because it said you could fly into Bakersfield Airport or LAX. So I'm guessing it's the south.
Okay. All right. That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to be heading to, let's see, where do I have to go? I have to go. I'm actually going toward you to pick up Felicity, and then we're heading down to Arkansas, and then I got to go to Togo for 3 weeks. And then I head to Ivory Coast for a couple of days.
When is this?
Oh, and I'm going to Benin too. So I'm hitting three countries. So this is, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to tell everybody when I'm not at my home so they can come and rob it.
What month are you going to Togo?
March.
March. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so are you just checking on people?
Yeah, there's team meetings that I need to be there for. And then there's the 50th anniversary, 50 years that my organization has been in Togo. And so we're having this big celebration. And believe it or not, I have an appointment to meet the president.
Of
Togo.
Togo. All right.
So we'll see if that happens. It probably is not going to happen, but at least it's on the books. I have an appointment.
Well, so then you got to stop picking your beard out because you don't want to meet the president of Togo with a patchy beard.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. So I need to stop. You are correct.
Why is this American's knuckles bleeding and he has holes in his face?
Okay, that's enough of that. We don't have holes in the face.
He's got holes in his face. What are these crazy Americans? Get this man some fufu.
Put some fufu in him.
That'll put hair on his chest and his face.
You should come with me.
Oh, I'm just busy. Otherwise, I'm there.
Yeah, I know you'd be there. I know you'd be there.
I mean, I just told you I've got to go to California. California or Togo?
So I'm going to Benin, I'm going to Togo, going to Ivory Coast later this year. I'm going to Malawi, Mozambique. Any of those sound fun to you?
I didn't even know Benin was a country. Okay. I'm fairly geographical in my knowledge, and I've not heard of Benin.
Oh, it's right next to Togo. It's in between Togo and Nigeria.
Yeah, see, Togo just overshadows Benin. Like, when you're talking about, you know, little countries in Africa, it's always Togo, 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 and it just kind of pushes Benin out of the way.
In our extensive talks and all the talks that we've had.
I mean, just really just the worldly talks, you know. Benin is like the redheaded stepchild to Togo. All right.
I can't repeat those things in that part of the world. Okay.
They know it. Everybody knows.
They know. They know. Okay, this believe it or not, this is a comic book podcast. I think I say that every single time. This is the M6P, right? Marvel 616 Politics. Some contact information. You can email us, m6pllc@gmail.com. Go to our website, the m6p.com. You won't regret it. You can even leave us a voicemail that we will play on the air. 616-755-TINA. That's right, as in Tina Turner. 616-755-TINA.
Yes, give us a call. We're paying for this phone number, so let's use it, you know? Yes, you can also hit us up on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. We're on everything but TikTok, so check us out. Just do a search for the M6P. We've got the most going on our Facebook page. We're posting there daily. We got some cool YouTube specials and fun things on YouTube, and then just stay in touch. Just stay in touch. Do a search for the M6P.
Just stay in touch. Just reach out, right?
Yeah.
Just call.
Reach out. That's definitely ages us. Reach out and touch someone.
Yeah. What is that? Bell Systems?
What was AT&T?
I think it used to be like Grand Bell, and then it was AT&T, and I don't know. South Central Bell. All the bells.
South Central Bell.
hey, I wanted to ask you, while we're talking about Twitter, you mentioned the word Twitter. So yes. What do you think about this Elon Musk paying for all the legal bills for the Mandalorian MMA girl?
Oh, it's great. I love it. Go for it. You know, like, somebody's got to give it to the House of Mouse. Somebody's just got to tell them because they don't know.
You're talking about the parent company of Marvel.
Yeah, I think they're so far removed from our little podcast, I think we'll be okay.
Okay. All right. So you don't think
they're coming? I mean, they can give me a call. I'd love to talk to them. I could really help them.
616-755-TINA if you're out there in Disney.
Leave a message and I will help you fix a lot of stuff. I will I will take care of this. I really, like, for real though, Andy, if it was me and you and Darren, the three guys that run the M6P, and our collective of M6P guys, there's about 15 of us, we could really do some great damage for Marvel and the House of Mouse. We could get the ship back on the tracks. Well, ships don't go on tracks. We could get the train on the tracks.
We could get the ships on tracks.
Yes. It would be so good. From publishing to movies to animation, the 15 of us could just give us some money and let us get to work, and we will nail it.
That's probably true. Yeah, I don't know why they don't put us in, Coach.
Well, hopefully they're listening. We gave them a phone number. It's not long distance.
They can give us a call. That's fine. All right. What are our sponsors? We are sponsored by CRPSavings.com. All right. So if you need office supplies, discounts, right? If you buy paper, if you buy a ton of paper, if you're an organization out there and you buy paper with inflation and everything, paper is a commodity. It goes up. If you're printing a lot, okay, let us know. Okay, CRPSavings.com will give you better prices on Office Depot and Office Max paper. They do phenomenal work. Let us know. We'll hook you up. We got our contacts that get us better prices on everything we need. So let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. CRPSavings.com. We're also sponsored by MichaelWebSolutions.com. That is an SEO and marketing company that does phenomenal work. And Darren runs that. And he's really, since he's been on board, really kind of helped us grow with making some changes. So check out MichaelWebSolutions.com. He'll get you taken care of. And then lastly, we've got our own product, the Marvelous Box. So check out themarvelousbox.com. It's a blind box subscription service for Marvel graphic novels. $25 a quarter gets you over $100 worth of Marvel graphic novels delivered right to your front door.
Okay, we are doing some number ones, right? So that's kind of what we're doing now. We're going through a bunch of Marvel number ones that just came out. So yesterday we had two Marvel number ones that just came out. We are doing Chris Claremont and Salazar's Wolverine Madripoor Knights number one. It says parental advisory, which I found very interesting. And then we are also doing Ultimate Black Panther number one. Now, you may say that's not the 616, and that's true, but it is tied into the new Ultimate Hickman run. We're going to explore it. We're going to see. And I believe this is even, I mean, it's not even the 1610. It's the 6160, right? 6160?
Yeah.
Okay. Which one do you want to tackle first, man?
Yeah. Why don't you run us through Black Panther and I'll take Wolverine Madripoor Knights.
All right. So Ultimate Black Panther number one. This is coming off of Ultimate Invasion and now the Makers scheme to create a whole new universe, but rob it all of all the superheroes. So it connects to Ultimate X-Men. It connects to Ultimate Spider-Man. It was very interesting kind of reading this. I think this is kind of Hickman's brainchild, kind of like what he did with Avengers and then with X-Men. And now he's reimagining the Ultimate Universe, which I think is good because I liked what he did with Avengers. It was very high level, but I don't know if I like what he did with the X-Men. Like, it's a cool story, but should it be in the 616? So we, Black Panther, we open up in West Africa. We see some workers and then they get fried by followers of Khonshu and Ra. Now, I did not read Ultimate Invasion, so I got to go back and figure out what's going on there. So we have, did you read that or no?
No, no.
Okay, I didn't think so. So we got some people from Wakanda, some spies from Wakanda who see this. They see these guys getting fried, but they don't step in. Then we cut to Wakanda where King T'Challa wakes up. He's been having nightmares. He's the ruler. But then he tries to figure out what these nightmares mean. He talks to his dad. His dad says, you got to go and talk to the Vodou Khan. Now, from what I gather, the Vodou Khan are kind of like the magicians and sorcerers And it had like a real Dune feel to it. I don't know if you've ever read or watched Dune. Have you?
No.
Okay. So I don't know the terms, but there's some like women sorcery group in Dune, and it really had, it felt like that. So he goes and checks out what's going on. And the matron Amala, the sacred mother of the Vodou Khan, says that the gods are trying to speak to him. Now, I found it interesting. I'm going on rabbit trails here, but usually in the lettering, gods, when they're plural, is a small g. Did you notice that it was a capital G?
No, I didn't notice that.
Okay. I just was wondering why that was and what you thought of it. But if you didn't notice, then that's fine.
Yeah.
So basically, the two spies come back, the two warriors, and they report to T'Challa. And they say, hey, we got to go to war. These people from Khonshu and Ra are going and destroying stuff. And he's like, we're not going into war. Like, we'll do something. We'll check it out. We'll verify. But we're not going into war. And then Shuri is like, what? This is crazy. Dad would do something. And then his wife, Ayoke? Is that how you say it?
Okoye.
Okay, my bad. Okoye says, no, he's right. We have to be patient. We have to make the right moves. We have to do reconnaissance. And so you kind of get this underlying tension. They're painting Shuri as like kind of like really not just, but really hungry to go to war, because I think she builds a ton of this stuff and she wants to use it. And she wants to use it not just for the good of Wakanda, which is still hidden from the rest of the world at this point. But Okoye is saying, no, we gotta be patient here. So very interesting. We have another incursion with these kind of, they look like robots or some sort of Iron Man people, but I think it's just costumes. I don't think it's armor. I think they're wearing helmets though, in another West African country. And they're going and they're about to kill another village and claim the land. But then who I thought was Black Panther jumps in. This has spoilers, obviously. And he defeats them all, basically hand-to-hand combat. And then he rains down lightning from the sky to take out their ship. And it turns out to be Killmonger, who is defending the country. Killmonger and then somebody called Windrider. We cut back to Wakanda. There's the annual celebration of life, which I guess is a festival or a feast that they have. They have a woman, and I think the assumption, so he's on this platform like Star Wars style, talking to a bunch of people. His dad's up there too. He's kind of his counsel. And then they have a shrouded woman, which I think is from the Vodou Khan, but it never says. And he's talking, and all of a sudden the woman takes off her hood and she has a bomb strapped to her, and she says, for Khonshu, for Ra. And then his dad pushes him off so that the bomb doesn't go off and kill him. The bomb does go off and kill his dad, T'Chaka. You kind of see like the nano suit starting to go as he's falling on his hands and cover him so that he can jump to safety. But then you see the when he lands, he's in the full Black Panther costume. But then you see the smoldering remains of his dad. And then they say, Wakanda is at war. And so the line is, our enemy calls themselves Moon Knight. Wakanda is at war. So I think that's kind of interesting. That's not two characters I would put together, but when you think about it, Egypt, right, is in Africa. Yeah. Wakanda's in Africa. But I'm not sure what this has to do with the Maker and how, if it's going to veer off, and I don't know how Ra is going to be in place. I don't know. Do you want me to start telling you what I thought about it, or you want to tell me what you thought, and then I'll break down a little bit what I thought?
Give it to me, Andy.
Okay. All right. So this was not a 22-page comic. It was like a 34-page comic. The art, I really liked the art. I believe it's Caselli, which I couldn't remember what he had done before, but I know the name. I think he was on Spider-Man with Stefano Caselli. I think he was on Spider-Man a lot with Dan Slott. I think when Amazing Spider-Man came out and Andrew Garfield was doing Spider-Man, and so he made Peter Parker's look a little bit more like Andrew Garfield. So I thought the art in this was amazing. This was a 34-page comic, and I think it had less words than the Madripoor comic, which is Claremont and a 22-page comic. I think this was cool. I don't know if it, I think the only thing that, that really gripped my attention that would keep me reading is basically the idea of Moon Knight and like, okay, is he a superhero? Is this a superpower? Or is he evil? Because we don't see Moon Knight. We just see these two guys dressed in suits that like represent a Moon Knight force or Moon Knight, I don't know, power or alliance or something like that. So the art was amazing. There was nothing super special about the writing. The story, I'm not sure. I'm undecided what's going to happen. I would say that it's not untrue or inaccurate to say that not many of their readers care about Africa as a setting. I oddly did connect with it just because it said it was in West Africa and the villages looked similar to what I was used to. So I thought that was weird that it kind of connected with me on that level. And it's just looking at the background of the pictures. But yeah, it definitely looked, familiar to me. So that was kind of cool. I did find it odd though. The first scene where the bad guys are coming in and they're taking people and imprisoning them, there's a lot more white people than you would expect in this picture.
Oh, didn't realize that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's in West Africa. There's not that many white people. Believe me, I know.
You do. You've been there, so, done that, bought the
t-shirt. Anyway, I think that just might be the coloring. But that's really what I thought. It wasn't bad. It was not a slog to read through. It had a fast pace. I did really enjoy the art. I thought that was cool. I was like, wow, why isn't this person on Spider-Man? You know. What did you think?
It was okay. It was just okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. I really have a hard time getting past the ultimate part because it's not the ultimate. These ultimate titles are not the ultimate titles.
16-10?
Yeah. Yeah. Just come up with something about the awesome Black Panther and the awesome X-Men, the awesome Spider-Man. But ultimate, that's something else. That is a different universe. Ultimate Peter Parker has passed away, and that's how we got Miles. He rose to the front, and the Ultimate X-Men were really dark and wore black leather and kind of were inspired by the movies and stuff like that. This, it just, I don't think it's branded very well. It can be very confusing to the reader too. So getting that out of the way though, I'm not a huge Panther fan. I never really have been. I like the X-Men and I like Spider-Man and I like team books. I really like a lot of team dynamic. So Black Panther is always, he was always more of a street level, disengaged from the rest of the Marvel universe by being in Wakanda type of character. So he's just never been huge for me. So I already knew going into this, this probably just wasn't going to be my thing. And that's fine. I think the art was really well done. I like the take on Moon Knight that they're doing, with him being some sort of enemy there. It, you know, Storm showed up. You know, I love me a Storm. I like Storm with the X-Men. So
I
with Killmonger, I don't know.
how do you know that that's Storm?
Well, the female was using lightning powers. Storm's nickname is Wind Rider. And in issue two, you didn't know that.
I did not know that her nickname is Wind Rider. No, I'm sorry.
No, I failed you. I and I have both struck out for this episode. yeah. And in some of the previews for issue two, they said, you know, Killmonger and Aurora will be together instead of Black Panther and Storm together. So I was expecting that she was going to show up here somewhere.
I could have guessed then that you would not be a fan of this if I knew that Storm was going to show up and not be with Black Panther. Now, were you a fan of the 616 relationship between Black Panther and Storm?
No. Not at all. Not even a little bit. It was so convoluted and made up just to put them, the two, what I saw was the two black characters, Marvel's two main black characters had to rewrite history and make these appearances that never happened in the first place to get them married. I was never a fan.
I'm trying to think back. Was that Love Triangle? Is that back? Who wrote that?
It was Reginald Hudlin.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes, he wrote that. He had the wedding. you know, during Civil War that happened, and the Watcher came down and saw it, and then they got a he annulled their Black Panther annulled their marriage during Avengers versus X-Men.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because she stayed with the X-Men, and Namor had also been with the X-Men and just destroyed Wakanda. So he's like, you're a part of this. Deuces. And then she got with Wolverine, and he got all jealous. It was a whole thing.
I forgot that Namor took it to Wakanda.
Oh, yeah. That panel with the water, like, taking down the towers, etched in my mind.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, we should maybe do, like, the M6P retro reviews or something.
I think we probably should. I think we should go back. I got all these comics on my shelf that you're talking about. I need to go back and open them up.
Yes, back when books were good and the stories were great.
You know that I was looking in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I'm so gray. I'm getting more and more gray hair every day. Now you look like an Adonis, a Cadillac of men.
Whatever.
But our first episode was 2009, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, it's 2024. That's 15 years, right?
It's 15 years.
So we have been doing this show for almost 15 years because I think we started in August.
Oh, did we? Look at you.
I think so.
Oh. You know the dates and everything.
But that's a long time, right?
It is. You'd think we'd have more episodes.
That was my first thought. That was my first thought when I was like, wow, 15 years, 132 episodes.
Well, I don't really count the last few years. They were maybe one a year. It was hard with you in Africa.
Yeah. Hiatus. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. It was hard to get books and hard to even get a decent internet connection. There was a time change. There were a lot of different things. COVID.
right. It was a 5-hour time change. All right. You do the, let's do this Wolverine Madripoor Nights. Walk me through it, man.
Yeah. So we got Wolverine Madripoor Nights, and this is by the one, the only Chris Claremont. And he's probably my favorite writer. Definitely can appreciate what he has written in the past. Marvel doesn't tend to want to give him a lot of current stuff. He has said in past interviews that they've paid him just to keep him from writing for other companies. At years at a time when he hasn't had anything to write for Marvel, they still paid him just so he couldn't write for other companies. Wow. So typically, wow, when it comes to Chris Claremont, they give him these sort of throwback issues to fill in holes from the past. He just did an Extreme X-Men miniseries that takes place back in the early 2000s, back when Grant Morrison had the X-Men running around in leather and Storm had her team in Australia with the Destiny Diaries. You know, so it's, they just don't give him these big, they're never probably going to give him a something like they're going to give Hickman. They're not going to say, Chris, go in there and just revitalize the Avengers or something like that. Instead, look at a story you wrote 20 years ago and give us a 5-issue limited series, which is kind of disappointing. But I don't know. I think he's also kind of struggled with adapting his writing to today. And the reader of today is much different than the reader of 20 years ago, 40 years ago, things like that. But anyways, that was my little Chris Claremont diatribe. For this story, Madripoor Nights is going to take place a little bit after Uncanny X-Men 268. And Uncanny X-Men 268 was that great classic cover with Cap, Black Widow, and Wolverine drawn by Jim Lee that has been mimicked and homaged 1,000 times. Just a classic cover. So that's when this takes place. It happens in Madripoor. We got Wolverine, Black Widow, and Psylocke and Jubilee kind of doing their thing. They're all dressed up at a nice dinner party, reminiscing about the past when, of course, Captain America and the Hand break through the window. They're doing some fighting. Excuse me. And, of course, talking and quipping the whole time. The things I loved about Claremont and still do is he's a very detailed writer. There's lots and lots of writing on these pages. This is not a book that you read in 5 to 10 minutes. This is usually going to be a 15 to 20 minute read when you're reading Claremont. And I think I've told you this before, Andy. This kind of stuff is what really taught me to read when I was a little kid,
Yeah.
is getting comic books. And there were so many words, and I didn't know what half of them meant. So you'd have to read and really use the context clues to figure out what these things were. It expanded vocabulary. And I recently just saw a study about comic books versus novels and how they did some sort of study. And when a kid reads a comic book, they expand their vocabulary like by 53 new words per thousand, whereas over a novel is 52 words per thousand. There's only
Really?
one more, which isn't huge, but it just kind of gives some more credence to the comic book and the graphic novel as being a serious and legitimate form of media. It's not. It isn't just like these kid comic book strips on the Saturday morning newspaper. This is real stuff. So I love that study. I just got that study a couple weeks ago. But anyways, keep digressing for this issue. I'm as worried as Claremont is. So they're fighting the hand, and Psylocke's powers aren't working, which is terrible because she has to focus the totality of her psychic powers into her knife, which she always says, and she did not say this issue. So I think Claremont's been reading the message boards. I don't know. So they got to fighting. Jubilee, she does her fighting. The majority of this issue is just our favorite superheroes, three from the X-Men and two from the Avengers, fighting ninjas. That's great. I love it. I'm down for it. Wolverine says his healing powers aren't working like they used to. He's wondering why the Avengers are here in the first place. Turns out that the hand are not really human, that when they're taken out, they kind of melt away or disappear. And just as the more show up, we have some female superheroes that show up. And I don't know if I can pronounce this correctly, but I'm going to say Bakai. Is that how you would pronounce this group of women warriors? Okay. The Bakai show up. Now, I didn't know who these women were, but I know if Chris is using them, then they have appeared before in one of his books. So I looked them up. And when he took over the Fantastic Four, he created this group called the Bakai. And he used them in the Fantastic Four. And then he also used them when he retook over Uncanny X-Men in issues 450 and 451.
Oh, wow.
And I did not remember it. And then I felt terrible because I should know better. So our heroes are kidnapped on ropes by the Bakai, but Wolverine explains that he knows who they are. They hug. They talk about fighting the hand. Jubilee says she can take care of herself. You know, these are the reasons why everyone hates Jubilee, because of how she's acting like a spoiled brat, and that she knows best. And if she knew me, she knows that I do not like kids in comic books, and I definitely don't like when they save the day. So off the page. So Psylocke kind of takes her away, talks with the Bakai. We've got Wolverine, Cap, and Black Widow talking about, it looks like there's going to be an auction in Madripoor for some extraterrestrial military tech. So these two are going to have to team up to save it from getting into the wrong hands. They put their hands on top of each other and do a basically all team together and go.
Yes.
I thought this was just a one-off. So when that happened, it said to be continued. I didn't realize, oh, we've got another issue. And the preview cover looks like Roughhouse, he was a Wolverine villain, is going to be in the next issue. And he also ran around Madripoor. So looking forward to see what happens in this issue. I thought the art was good. It wasn't amazing, but it was good. It was so different from a lot of the art I see today. It wasn't very stylized, so I appreciated that. I thought the coloring was really well done. There were some good landscapes in there, and I really like how he drew Black Widow. So that's what I got for this issue. How about yourself?
Well, I think it's interesting that you brought up the issue 450. I'm looking at it now, and that was Davis's art. And when I was reading this, I could be way off base, but when I was reading this, I was like, this guy reminds me. I feel like he reminds me of Davis.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I could be way off base and making that connection up. But if I'm remembering the guy, who was the guy that right after Wolverine lost his powers, right before his death, I guess, or something like that, he took over the book. I mean, I don't think it was Art Adams. I think it was Davis, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that this art kind of reminds me a little bit of that style.
I just don't see that even a little bit, but okay. I will take.
Well, maybe I am way off and I'm just not remembering correctly and it just sticks in my head. But I have this picture in my head of those issues, like he was like there was some alien possession or something going on right after he lost his powers, right before he died.
Yeah.
And just the book was just unbearable. And I think the art was terrible. And like, that's, I kind of look at this anyway, whatever. If I'm being super critical, this cover, I like Philip Tan's cover here.
Yeah.
But whoever designed the logos and the fonts, there's too many. There's too many colors. There's too many different logos and fonts. Now, I know it's because they're going off of the, you know, issue 268, where it says Wolverine, Captain America, Black Widow together again for the first time, right?
Yeah.
And so this is like for the last time, and it has all the same colors and everything. So I get that, even though they did it out of order. They're supposed to be, why did they do that? If they're going to do an homage, why did they, did you notice that or no?
No, I don't know that anyone else did either.
It's, the order is on issue 268, the order is Wolverine, Captain America, Black Widow together again for the first time. And they did Captain America, Black Widow, and Logan together again for the last time. Like, it's just, it's weird.
Oh, yeah, it really bothered me.
All right, never mind. So, okay, I am not a fan of Chris Claremont's writing, but
right.
I really enjoyed this book. Yeah, does that surprise you?
It does a little bit.
I thought like there was just enough writing that wasn't overboard. It was not too much. And not only that, but he made every character, all their writing, everything that they said, like have their own character. You could pick out the different characters based on what they were saying.
That's true.
So I thought that was awesome. Like, I really saw everybody's personality. And you really saw like the Boy Scout in Captain America and how he has a hard time maybe with like understanding humor. And you see Logan, you see Jubes, you know, and even Psylocke, who I don't know that well as a character, because I mean, she just seems like such a one-dimensional character. Every time I read her, she actually had some dimension in this. And so I really appreciated that. Now, to get that, I think sometimes some of the lines are cheesy, but I know he's also putting it back at 268, you know?
Yeah.
So you can kind of let that go. But I did actually really enjoy this art as well. I thought it was just the right level of comic book and realistic. It wasn't super cartoony or anything like that. It wasn't over stylized. I think he is obviously a master at like plot threads and going back and following them through and saying what would naturally happen after this. Oh, and then go off into a whole different adventure. I love how he brings characters from the past. He kind of rewards the readers. I have to admit that I either did not know or forgot that Natasha was as old as this book says she is.
Yeah, they don't really reference that a whole lot.
No, not at all. I'm wondering why is it says like an adult, what does it say on the cover? It says parental advisory.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
This is not, I would not say that this is a parental advisory book at all. No. Not compared to other stuff that they're putting out. So I have a question for you, like the eye patch, okay? Take the eye patch off and his eye is fine. So I don't understand why he had it. Is it just he's going by patch in that time?
Yeah, that was just a disguise. He didn't wear it because his eye was damaged. It was just a persona that he was keeping while he was in Madripoor.
Okay. He looks very recognizable with or without it. But at the same time, I was like, oh, well, his you know, his healing factor is not working. So maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know.
Nope. Just a disguise.
Would you read issue two? Are you going to read issue two?
I think I might give it a try. Yeah, give it a try.
Okay.
I feel like you liked it even more than I did.
I think my expectations were so low that, I mean, it made me want to go back and reread some of this Claremont stuff. I'm looking at a cover on the internet right now, issue 450, like you said, The Cruelest Cut, part one and part two. Did you know that that was like his Wolverine's 30th anniversary? And now this is like his 50th anniversary?
I did not put that together.
Oh, I think that's kind of cool. You got Claremont writing his 30th and his 50th. And I remember reading this Uncanny X-Men book. Like,
oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, I remember the cover. I can't remember what happened, but I remember sitting down and reading it. And I think I have it in my collection, actually. In trades.
So you'll probably pick up the next issue too?
It depends. Well, I mean, I'm still catching up on Spider-Man. I mean, let's not go crazy now. I mean, these fonts.
The fonts alone I can't get past. Maybe if I just rip the next cover off and give it to you.
Right, yeah. What book is this? Oh, it's amazing. It's a good thing I didn't see the fonts. Man, oh man. All right, so anything else with this? Did you like the cover of this one or no?
I like Philip Tan. Yeah, I think he's decent. He's a good artist.
Now, is he, I mean, I remember Billy Tan was the rise and fall of the Shi'ar Empire, right? Are they related or no?
I don't know. That's a great question. Call us at 616-755-TANA and let us know.
And I feel like there's another Tan also. There's Billy Tan, Philip Tan, and then there's one more that might be a colorist. I can't remember. I think he did some of the old Transformers books.
I'm gonna take your word for it.
Okay, never mind. All right. Anything else on these?
No, those were our two number ones for the week.
Okay. All right. So, hey, I wanted to, like, if we're going to be doing these episodes more regularly and picking up new listeners, and we got, you know, a million people on the Facebook page because you guys are knocking it out of the park, I want to ask 5 questions each to get to know us a little bit better. Did you happen to have time to come up with your 5 questions?
I just happened to have time to come up with 5 questions.
Okay. So,
did you?
I did. I have them typed out, not printed.
Ooh, me too.
Okay. All right. Would you like to go first or me?
Sure. I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
All right, Andy. If you could be any Marvel character, who would you be and why?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I mean, obviously, you want to first go to, like, your favorite is Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
But that Parker Luck thing, that's probably not good. Parker's been, you know, Peter's been through a lot of pain. So if I could do any Marvel character, I mean, Nick Fury's cool.
Okay.
I think this is a great question, man. I think I would do Peter Parker.
I said what? You just said you wouldn't.
I said that, like, you have to consider all these things, but I think for the sake of this, like, I'm so, like, I don't know. I resonate with that guy so much. I feel like I would be stuck with that anyway. Like, kind of that idea of, like, the responsibility and the power. And so, anyway.
That makes sense. Okay. Good choice.
Who would you?
I think I would do Captain Britain, Brian Braddock. So, he's got a sweet...
Serious?
Yeah. So, he's got a sweet power set. You know, he's basically like Marvel's Superman, right? Fly, strong, impervious to harm, that kind of thing. He's got a great beach house there in England. Lives right on the ocean. His wife is smoking hot. Megan is gorgeous. He himself is like, he's built like Superman and looks like Kent. So he's just gorgeous, full of muscles, blonde haired, gorgeous wife. How many villains are really attacking England? Not a whole bunch. Beach house. Like, the dude is set.
Okay, I feel like you have many of these same qualities as well. So you're halfway there.
No, it's not true. No, Brian Braddock, I'm just like, oh, I could be Cyclops. Oh, no, his life is full of tragedy. You know?
That is rough, yeah.
Yo, Gambit, oh, but he can't touch the woman that he loves. Oh, I don't want to do that. Nightcrawler, oh, he's purple. You know, lots of flaws in a lot of the Marvel characters, and I think that's why they're so relatable. Yeah. Even Spider-Man, you know, he's the everyman, but he has a lot that he goes through. Brian Braddock doesn't have a whole lot he's struggling with, you know?
That's a crazy to go through that list and arrive at Captain Britain is just nuts, man.
I don't understand. I think it's a good choice.
It is a good choice. That's so funny. Do you think Jennifer looks like Megan?
No, I don't. Jennifer has a lot of hair, but not that much hair. Jennifer also likes to wear shoes, and Megan doesn't like to wear. She's always barefoot. Megan has a little bit of mental instability. So I guess there's that.
So I just assumed that your mind went there because what is Jennifer's maiden name?
Oh, it is. You're right. That's Jennifer's maiden name, Megan.
I thought that's where you were going with this whole thing. I'm like trying to figure it out.
No, I think Brian is just like the man's man, good looking. That's who I'd want to be.
Dude, I might pick Moon Knight.
Oh, we want multiple personalities.
Oh man, like get to do all this fun with none of the responsibility because it wasn't me, it was the other dude.
Well, you might as well just be Apocalypse or something then, like just be the most powerful.
Well, yeah, I was thinking Cable, but I was like, no, I don't want his life, not at all.
Yeah, always having to keep your arm virus in check.
Yeah, maybe Agent X. Actually, maybe as insane as this sounds, The Punisher, Frank Castle.
No, dude, your whole family was taken from you.
Yeah, but that was in the past. Now you get to do whatever you want. And apparently the cops never catch up with you.
Well, I don't think I want my family ever taken from me, whether it's in the past or not. But that's you, boo. You do you.
You do you. Okay. All right. My first question. It's a good thing we only did five of these. Okay. Who is your favorite singer and who is your second favorite singer?
Well, you already know this answer, but my favorite singer is a little old lady from Nutbush, Tina Turner. She's my favorite. I basically came out of the womb singing What's Love Got to Do With It. So Tina is my favorite. There's no one even in a stone's throw when it comes to who would be number two. Tina is just it for me. I like artists that are over 60. That's how I usually tell people when they ask my music preferences. So I like Elton John and Rod Stewart, Eric Clapton, Madonna, Bonnie Raitt, Cher, Annie Lennox. All the artists that are over 60, almost over 70 now.
Wow.
That's what I like.
And is it just that style or is it that era? Is it, what is it?
I feel like it was just music. I feel really old saying it, but yeah, I think that's when music was music. It isn't a bunch of synth. It isn't a bunch of voice modulation and all the effects and stuff for the most part. And Cher's definitely leaned into that since Believe. Sure. But for the most part, like these are people that usually write their own music. They're still performing into their 60s and 70s. The beat of their songs, they sound unique. Like I can put on an Elton John record and all 10 songs will sound different. If I put on a record, and not even a record, an Amazon playlist from today's artist, or even like a Taylor Swift or something, a lot of the songs sound very similar. And I don't know, really appreciate that.
I think it's so funny that you were like, the sentence, if I put on an Elton John record. And I thought I was gray.
I know. All right, nice. And I listen to CDs. I still have CDs. I don't do MP3s. I am the person that I made fun of when I was young.
That's so funny.
Is your favorite Neutral Milk Hotel?
Oh, Jeff Mangum from Neutral Milk Hotel. Actually, no. Good question, though. I think my favorite singer is probably Rain. I don't know his last name, from Our Lady Peace. I think he's extremely talented. His voice is an acquired taste, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then second favorite singer is Sufjan Stevens. And these aren't like bands. I have other bands I like, but these are, as far as singers, these are the ones I like. So Rain from Our Lady Peace and then Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah, you sent me Our Lady Peace album for Christmas a few years ago.
Oh, Spiritual Machines?
Yeah, and I remember their song, Maybe You Should Be. That song.
Maybe. You know that doesn't ring a bell.
Our Lady Peace. That was their big song, wasn't it?
think somewhere out there, innocent, Superman's dead, clumsy, rabbits.
Yeah. I'm trying to think which one, because I don't want to sing on the podcast and not the right words.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, we're all done with that. Let's move on to the next play.
Okay. What is your...
All right. What is your Andy.
Yes.
We just talked about being 15 years old. Tell me your thoughts behind how you started the M6P.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. The simplified version is... Well, there's two main pieces, right? So I got into podcasts a long time ago, probably 16, 17 years ago, when they just first started hitting the mainstream just a little bit. And I thought, oh, man, we could do this, having somebody to talk to. And then on the other end, I was like, I have no one to talk to about comics. I love comics. Like, I really enjoy them, and nobody understands because I'm reading them. This was before, I mean, 2009. So Iron Man and Hulk had just come out, and then probably one more. I can't remember the summer of 2000. Was Thor in the next one? I don't know.
Iron Man 2 and then Thor.
Okay, Iron Man 2. So then I was like, all right, well, who do I know that really likes comics? And I was like, I know Jared from college. He really likes comics. And so then I contacted you kind of out of the blue and was like, hey, man, do you want to do a comic book podcast with me? And you were like, sure, why not? Like, and I don't think you hesitated at all, which is crazy. And like we've said on the show so many times, like, we weren't really close friends at all at that point. And now, like, we're best friends pretty much because of this show. But, like, we text each other almost every single day, and we're constantly talking to each other. Anyway, and I, now that I'm back in the States, I want more of that if possible. I know now we're grown up and we have even more big time jobs than we had before. But yeah, I mean, that was basically it. I was like, I love comics. I got nobody to talk to about them. And I think this, and I was listening to two main podcasts at the time, and both of them had two people, and I very quickly became invested in their relationship. Like, they don't even know I exist, but like, here are two sets of guys that you can tell are like best friends, and suddenly you care about their kids and growing up, and like, anyway, you could just tell their friendship and their love and how much they care about each other. And so I was like, man, that's awesome. Let's do that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, does that fit what you remember?
Yeah. You and I were not, I would say we were very much acquaintances. You know, I wouldn't even say that we were like friends. Would you? not in a mean way, but can you remember the last time we had a conversation before you called me about the podcast?
I'm pretty sure the last time I talked to you, like, I think I saw you, but the last time I talked to you was when we went to the Afro-American Museum for English comp class.
And I still don't even remember you being in my class.
I think there was both of the sections combined. And so we both together. Yeah.
That would make sense. Cause I feel like we would have at least sat by each other if we were in class.
I don't know. I was in class with Jackie. So that's who I was.
Yes. There you go. Yes. You were married and started popping out kids very quickly.
Okay. Well, what did you think? Let's turn the question back on you. What did you think when I asked you?
I mean, I thought it was kind of strange just because we weren't, I mean, Eric is the one that kind of brought us together. Yes. Eric was my roommate. Well, he wasn't even my roommate then. Eric Kramer and I both transferred in to Cedarville University winter quarter. And Eric lived with Andy over at the Hill, but Eric and I, because we came in the middle of the year, like, they kept all of us transfer kids together doing different activities and stuff. So Eric and I just became fast friends, and he introduced me to you over at the Hill. I remember you said that when you first met me, you thought it was really weird. I thought there was some sort of wrestling. I seem to remember somehow. I'm not completely sure.
Okay.
But the big thing was that Andy's girlfriend at the time set me up on a blind date with Jennifer, who I married and Jackie, Andy's wife, but girlfriend at the time, married Andy. Yeah. So really, in many ways, like, you know, Andy and Jackie are responsible for getting Jennifer and I together. So it was always a big, huge thing of who Andy and Jackie were, but we weren't really tight and we didn't run around together. We didn't like go out to dinner and hang out and stuff or anything like that. So fast forward, you know, you've graduated, I've graduated, we've been out of college for 3 or 4 years and we're friends on Facebook and you say, hey, I don't have anybody to talk to about comics with. Do you want to do a podcast? And, you know, podcasts were very new. You're right. They were very new at the time. It wasn't a huge popular thing. And I was like, I remember talking to Jennifer and just saying, I haven't talked to Andy forever, but he wants to do this podcast thing. And I like comic books. I also don't really have anyone to talk to comics about. I mean, I guess I'll just give it a try, you know? And I remember where our computer was in our first house. Because it was a desktop, there was no laptops then. And so I'd sit in the corner and I was on my phone and I had digital comic books and I was on my phone and you were recording. And I mean, if you go back and listen to that first episode, it's very,
yeah, it's rough.
But as we did the episodes, you know, I really got to know you more. And you weren't just an acquaintance anymore. You became a friend, and then you became a best friend. And in many ways, you're like a brother that I just have not had before. And so really, like, the podcast was fun and all, but I just to have a friendship with you and to know your family and you bringing me into your family is way cooler than talking about Storm and Spider-Man. So it's been a good journey.
You're going to make me tear up. But just thinking about, like, whenever I go into town, I got a place to crash, like, because I get to hang out with you. And, you know, you offering to pick up Felicity from the airport. And just, dude, like, I don't know if we recorded this or we talked about it, but the last time I was at your house, a month ago, which I get to see you way more now, which is crazy. We spent like an hour or two on the floor in the comic book room, looking at the Fleer, like the Ultra Fleer cards for Marvel and stuff. It was just, man, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And I'm 41.
You are taking the words out of my mouth because it's fun. I mean, I love having my library and I love having my basement, but it's always more fun to enjoy it with someone. You know, it's like every once in a while you want to go to the movies by yourself and pick your seat and pick your time. But to go with someone is just a different experience. So having you over, hang out in the library, looking at cards, and you look at cards and you look up on the shelf and be like, oh, I remember this graphic novel. I remember this story. And like, I so enjoyed that so much. It was a great time. Come back and do that anytime you want.
I will. The crazy thing is that both of us had to like pick up our phones throughout that whole thing and be like answer work emails and work texts. I did a meeting in the comic book room over Zoom or Teams or whatever, and everybody was like, "Where are you?" I was like, "Oh, let me blur out the background. Sorry."
It's too funny.
Oh man. Okay. All right. What is your go-to comic title? So like if you got downtime, and I didn't say issue because it could be back issue or something, but if you got a stack of books or you go into a comic shop, like where do you go first? Like what is the one you're looking for to see what the cover is, who's in the issue?
Yeah, I would say it would be X-Men. It'd be X-Men or Uncanny X-Men. You know, they're kind of intertwined together. They're what got me into the books was the cartoon in 92. So I'm always, as much as I love Spider-Man and Hulk and the Avengers, nothing is ever going to surpass my love for the mutants. Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, Rogue. That's my group right there. I love a good team cover. Let's get me, make sure Storm is in it though. It seems like a weird X-Men team if Storm is not in it.
And right.
That pulls me in every time.
Nice.
Would I be correct in saying that yours would be Spider-Man?
Yeah, and it has to be. I mean, it's going to be either Amazing Spider-Man or Peter Parker. If they bring back Peter Parker Spider-Man, those are going to be the two. And every time I go into a comic shop, I go to the back issues and see if there's any Paul Jenkins or J. Michael Straczynski Spider-Man. So that's what I'm looking for. I went into two of them. I went into one in Yellow Springs, and the guy was like, whoa, people don't ask for Paul Jenkins Spider-Man that often.
Are there some holes in your collection?
What'd you say?
Are there some holes in your collection?
When they were doing trades of Peter Parker Spider-Man, they did not go in order. And so not all of them are collected in the original trades. And so I have to go back. I haven't looked at it in a long time. I have it all written out of which ones I'm missing. I'm pretty sure I have single issues of all the ones that I'm missing. I am missing single issues of, because I don't collect singles that much at all, just the ones that aren't in the trades. But I was collecting all at Marvel Adventures Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like before Paul Tobin, I forget who was writing it before Tobin was. I would love to collect that because that's that all ages stuff.
Yeah.
That was good. Good stuff. And so I definitely have holes in that run.
I have a ton of those. You should let me know what your holes are and you can have whatever because I'm never going to read them.
you have singles in that?
No, I have the trades. Okay. Are you saying that the singles is what you have, the incompletes?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So those trades were like digest size. You know?
Yeah, they're little cute books.
Yeah, that was when like Runaways, Joss Whedon was doing Runaways, and they had those digests. That was good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a whole Marvel Adventures line.
Yeah, oh, it was great.
Yeah, that was a great Avengers team because it was like you know, Cap, Iron Man, Thor, but then Wolverine and Storm, Hulk and Spider-Man. Like, oh, it's the biggest of Marvel's characters. They're calling them the Avengers. I'm hooked.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. They need to revisit that instead of this Ultimate stuff. Come on.
Amen. I took the words out of my mouth. All right. Andy, what are your hobbies?
I don't have many hobbies. Comic books, playing, like spending time with my kids, which that takes many forms. And I like to keep up with the stock market. I don't really do a ton of that anymore, but just kind of looking that over. So like those are my family. I work all the time. Like I'm always working. So like I really don't do much. I guess what I like to do in my downtime, like on the weekends, I like to work outside and kill myself outside, like moving stuff, cutting stuff, like, you know, I used to have a barn and a hobby farm and everything. And now I got this piece of property that a ton of stuff needs to be fixed on. It's a small piece of property, but I'm not here that much. So whenever I'm here, I'm usually killing myself outside. So I like to do that. How about you?
Yeah, I like to be at home. I really like my house. So I can always find something to do here. Not fixing it up like you, but more so. So we have a pond in the back, and when it's warm out, I love to just open the back door and sit on the couch and just listen to the pond and the fountain. It just really, I just love it. That's really cool. I'm a big media guy, so I love movies. I love TV shows. I have a very obsessive personality, so when I get into something, I have to watch all 38 seasons or whatever, you know, within a week. I love comic books, just like you. I love music. I love my wife a ton. So, yeah, I like to tinker around with the M6P stuff, always working with something with Darren on new video. We don't release a lot of videos, but we're always working on them. They just take a lot of time. We literally have about 30 of them in the queue right now, and we'll just get to them when we can.
That's crazy. All right. What is the best length of hair for guys?
The best length of hair for guys. Was that your question?
That's my question. What do you think and why the best length of hair for guys?
So I think my hair is too long. You know, it's not the best for an overall guy. It's what works for me right now, if that makes sense. So I have a man bun. I have hair down to my chest. So it's just what works for me right now. It's not the best for a guy. I think something where your hair can move a little bit is the best length. So your hair, for example, if your hair was maybe 2 to 3 inches longer, I think that would be ideal because it gives you a little bit of volume and it moves a little bit when you move.
Okay.
So that's what I think. I think you just need a couple more inches and okay. You will have the perfect hair for men.
Wow. All right. Goodness.
Do you disagree?
I think people that have like curly hair, I think a man bun work. There was a guy, this is going to sound ridiculous and strange. There was a guy in my town in Louisiana that I ran into multiple times. I just saw him in places. I don't know his name. I never talked to him. I saw him at the store. I saw him at the restaurant. Like I ran into him a couple different times. He had the best hair. And like he had like the curly man bun, kind of longer hair. You know, okay, so you know this is crazy too. Like I think one of the first or second seasons of Survivor, the soccer player.
Ethan.
Yeah. I like his hair.
Yeah, he had curls.
Yeah, right. I think he's a Jewish soccer player. I mean his hair looks, I think, I don't know. Yeah, I thought that would be awesome. Like that length to put it up in a bun. Me, I don't think I could pull it off. So anyway.
Well, they have clip-on buns for men.
Oh, that's probably what I should do. Yeah, come the very next day with not having anything. Maybe if I go to Togo and people don't see me for the month of March, I come back with that. That's what I'll do when people are, because like, I'm gonna be away from the office for a month. So
your hair is just so short in the front. You just grew it out right there at the back. Sure did.
I think you know how Tom Cruise's hair in the first Mission Impossible movie is that short? I think that's good too.
I do too. Yeah. I don't think long hair is for everybody. And I think a lot of people that have long hair, I want to tell them it's not for you.
I know. I think Brad Pitt's hair in Fight Club.
Yeah, that was tight. His physique in Fight Club was also top notch.
It was. So I saw an interview with Rob McElhenney. You know who that is?
No.
So he's the like Welcome to Wrexham guy. And he's Mac off of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So he, you know, he got ripped for that show. He like gained 60 pounds and then he lost it. And then he got ripped all within a couple seasons. And he had a personal trainer and I was listening to this interview with him. He went into his personal trainer and was like, I have a physique that I want picked out. And the guy's like, let me guess, Brad Pitt in Fight Club. He's like, how did you know? He's like, because every guy comes in here and says, that's what I want to look like. I got him. Okay. All right.
It's true. Great physique.
Okay. All right. Your question.
All right, Andy. If you could have dinner with two famous people, living or dead, who would they be?
Ooh. Oh man, this is a tough one. You like ask these questions I gotta think about. And also they're way better than my questions. I'm gonna have to change up my questions. Phew.
No, your questions were great. These are for people that maybe haven't been with us for a while to just kind of get to know us a little bit and not be forced to listen to the first 10 episodes that are horrible quality.
Yeah, don't go back. Don't go back. I think, no, they have to be famous or they could be anybody.
Let's just do anybody. How about that?
Okay. I think that if it was dining separately, like one-on-one, I think I would like to have dinner with my two grandfathers individually, probably the age when I was like 5 and under, so that I could hear their life stories and their wisdom, because both of them have died. But I would like to know, you know, I remember my grandfather getting frustrated with me because I was not patient or gentle with my sister and stuff like that. So I didn't like he always seemed gruff to me. But obviously he was looking out for my sister. Or he was trying to correct me. Like, so I would love to hear his wisdom. I would love to ask him advice. And then my other grandfather as well. He had a lot of wisdom and knowledge, but I just think I was too young. So, yeah. So I think that probably the reason I answer that way at this point in my life is because I'm in a job that I need so much wisdom. There's so much I don't know. I have so much varied, like we, I have a, like we're working on an evacuation plan for somebody right now, like just in case things get out of hand, those type of things. And you know, I've never done that before. It's like, it's up to me, like if anything happens to this person, you know, like so just to be able to ask these type of questions to what is right in the situation, how do you live by biblical values when these things are contending for your time and attention, those type of things.
Those are some good questions.
Yeah, man. It's true.
The older that you get, you know, your questions would be different than the Andy of 10 years ago, than the Andy of 20 years ago.
Oh, for sure. For sure. How about you? And anybody?
Yeah. Tina, without a doubt.
Yep.
She was always someone that I wanted to meet. I really always thought there would just be some coincidence, airport, something. Or we would have, I would just get to have 5 seconds to just say thank you for changing my life and give her a hug. So that did not happen, but that's okay. Yeah. I would treat her to a good meal.
Yeah.
And we have pizza. And then my mom. I would love to have dinner with mom again. She passed away when I was 20. And yeah, you know, like you said, the older you get, the Jared of today would have reacted to her passing much differently than the Jared when he was 20. So like, I have different questions and, you know, as my sister and I navigate life, you know, our dad is not a very honest person, so we just don't believe a thing that he says. So we don't really know the truth about stuff. So I'd be like, all right, mom, did this really happen? Did that really happen? That kind of stuff. It'd be a good dinner. Tina and mom and pizza and ice cream.
That's great, man. That's great. Yeah. Okay. How do you feel about sports?
You know me with all these questions. Sports are great. Sports are awesome. I don't get them. I ran track in school. I loved track. I played soccer when I was little. I definitely love to watch the Olympics. Other than that, it's I like racquetball. And I'm definitely a physical person because I love the gym. But I've never been very athletic in the sense of like, you know, coordinating to dribble a ball, keep it from somebody, and then shoot it in a hoop. That has always, struggle. The eye-hand coordination for baseball, that ball is coming really fast. What's going on? And like football, I just don't understand it. I've watched so many football games. I have watched Super Bowl. I have played in like tag. And I'm like, guys, just tell me what to do. I don't understand it. And I've tried. I've tried. So I definitely get how people appreciate that kind of stuff. I think there's, I don't want to talk too long, but there, I can see a double standard in, you know, like I love comic books. And so I get really excited when, you know, this comic book movie is coming out or whatever, or, you know, I wear a comic book shirt or cosplay. And to many people, they say, oh, that's just stupid. That's weird. That's silly. But then sports people will literally, like, they'll skip church on Sunday. They will paint their face various colors. Before the game starts, they will take food and cook it in the parking lot. And they'll sit out there in like -5 degrees with snow. But I'm the weird one because I'm super excited about Deadpool 3. You know, like, I don't think I'm the weird one in this equation, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's, yeah, that resonates with me.
Yeah, you've never been a huge sports guy, have you?
No, I played soccer all growing up. I really enjoy the game of soccer. I play it. I like analyzing the strategy and what you're doing. I cannot get my body to do what my mind tells it to do. I ran track for a couple years in high school. I did baseball for a couple years in high school. When I was in elementary, I tried basketball. All three of those that I just listed, baseball, track, and basketball, no good. Zero. Zero good. It was terrible. I coached soccer for a while. That was interesting. I was a girls varsity coach right after I got married and had a baby, and the other coaches were like, where's the coach? And this kid walks up with bleach blonde hair holding the baby, and I'm like, oh, it's me.
Hi guys, I'm coach.
Hey everybody, let's run laps. I don't enjoy or understand football. I don't get it. I don't see the draw. I think it's so commercialized. I think it's so, like, so pandering and just trying to sell you stuff. Like, all, I just, that turns me off so much. Like, don't try to trick me into watching commercials because I like a sport. And, like, just, you know how you're supposed to have, you're supposed to put commercials, targeted commercials of the type of people that would buy stuff, you know, like,
yeah.
And so the type of commercials for that are all football games is just like mind numbing, like beer and trucks and whatever else. And it's kind of just like, this is what you're trying to trick me into buying. Like, this is where you think my mental level is. Like, so I just find it all offensive and I can't separate that from football. You know what I mean? Like, it's a personal insult and I just can't separate it from the sport of football. I hate underdog sports movies. I hate them. Oh my goodness. Because people lose all the time.
Yeah.
And then I get to the point where it's just pathetic. These are strong opinions, obviously, but it gets to the point where it's just pathetic to root for somebody younger than you. Like, and I don't understand, like, picking a team and saying, this is my team, and these people that are younger than me, you represent me in this sport. Like, I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I can't mentally get there.
I'm tracking with you. Totally.
So the first two questions when I got to the office here, number one, do you golf? No. Number two, do you watch football? No. They ran out of stuff to talk about.
Now let me shut my door and hang up my coat and leave me alone.
Let me block the window with my coat and I'm good to go.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. So last question. If anyone listening knows Andy, they know that Andy is not an ice cream guy.
Okay, right.
And if you know me, you know I am definitely an ice cream guy. So tell us about your aversion to the cream of ice. And if you're forced to have ice cream, what flavor are you going with?
Okay. So you can tell me if my explanation has changed over the years, but it's really, the whole thing is like, it's so melty. It's gross. It like, is it liquid? Is it solid? What are we doing? Why are we eating? Why is there a time limit on what we're eating before it turns into something we don't enjoy anymore? I don't understand. It's disgusting. I don't like the temperature and I don't like the consistency and it's too sweet. And it's why are we doing this to ourselves that we put ourselves on a timer? I don't get it.
It's like hot food. Like, why does it get cold? Like, that's ridiculous that hot food gets colder.
It doesn't change shape or the state of matter from solid to liquid.
Okay.
So I enjoy ice cream shakes. Okay. So like milkshakes.
Ice cream shakes.
That's whatever they're called. Okay. I enjoy milkshakes, but I also get grossed out by the temperature difference in the straw. And so then I do have, you know, like if you don't take a sip and then like all of a sudden you get all this warm because the what was in the straw has like leaked back down and it's a different consistency. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Whatever you say. I think that's a big problem.
So that means I have to drink these things fast. So again, I'm very sensitive to temperature differences.
I guess so.
It's ridiculous, I know. But like, if my shoulder is not covered when I'm sleeping, I will wake up and I'll be like, why is this 5 degrees cooler than the rest of my body? Like, and I'll have to like.
This is ridiculous. Wow. Okay.
So the last best ice cream flavor I had was roasted cherry and goat cheese.
That sounds like it should be served warm.
It was really good. The flavor was really good. I think I told you this. Like, I went to Young's Jersey Dairy and they had dill pickle and garlic ice cream. Mm. It was not sweet. It tasted like butter. I was like, I can't do this to myself. I can't. It had no sugar, and so I thought I was eating a tub of butter. Maybe I was. Maybe they.
It was just butter.
It may have been. I don't know. It was on the side. It was not next to the other flavors. But they were handing out free samples, so I tried it.
So you never, like at Cedarville, taking Jackie to Young's wasn't a big thing for you guys?
I don't think we ever went together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody went to Young's, but not Andy, because he didn't want one of those ice cream shakes.
I have been to Young's more since I left Cedarville than when I was in there. It's like more... Since I lived in Louisiana and Africa, I've been there more than when I lived in
town over. It's just the place to go now.
Okay, you tell me about ice cream. Answer this question. What's your favorite flavor? Is it ice cream sandwich? Is it a cone? Is it a cup? What is it?
Yeah, I like a bowl of ice cream, something with chocolate and caramel and nuts and marshmallow, maybe some peanut butter. Like, I very much like a good, sweet, chocolatey crunch consistency for my ice cream.
All right. Yeah.
Butterfinger in there, Snickers, or something like that. Not so much like a fruity ice cream guy. I like the good chocolate stuff.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It's delicious.
I do like I do like more crunch than just the nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That helps your consistency a little bit. Yeah, I saw a report yesterday that a guy bought a Great Value, which is the Walmart brand, ice cream sandwich, and he left it out for like a week on a plate, and it never melted.
What?
So he's, what is in this that we are putting in our bodies?
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think Walmart's going to be sponsoring our podcast anytime soon, but I'm probably going to steer away from the Great Value ice cream sandwiches.
Okay, last question on my end. What is the next thing that you, is there a next milestone that you're going to, that you want to accomplish in your life? Or a different question, before you die, what is a milestone that you want to accomplish or learn or do something in your life?
That's good. I was talking with Jennifer about this today. So I did my last bodybuilding show in October. So I retired from bodybuilding, and I really have just been on this, like swimming in this ocean of, I don't know what to do next. What is my next? I like to be working towards something. So what is my goal? What? And I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just kind of waiting around, figuring out what I want to do next. So I don't know. And Jennifer and I were talking about this and could not come up with an answer. I don't know. I don't know what I want. I do want another adventure. I love a good adventure. I think the past few years with my bodybuilding journey, it really has been a lot of my adventures. So I've tried to talk with her about what she wants to do.
Sure.
And she has not come up with anything, and that's okay. But I want to make sure that she also gets to, like, I feel like I slayed the dragon and I saved the princess. And because I looked like He-Man, and so I really legit did. And but I want to make sure that she gets to have that adventure next. So I don't know what she's going to do. It might be a trip. She's always wanted to go to Hawaii or Vegas. So I don't know. I really don't know. That's a great question. I'll tell you this. I do love life. I just love being alive, and I like the newness of life, and I want to experience a lot of life. So I'm looking forward to whatever the next thing is.
The next thing. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll stay on this. Keep asking you.
So I know that much.
It's not children. Is that what you said?
I said Togo. It's not Togo.
Oh. Okay. You cut out.
No.
So it could be children is what you're telling me.
I mean, Jennifer, it really could. You know, Jennifer and I are, I think it's not in our cards. I don't think it's in our plans, but I also know there are lots of people that have children older. I mean, my goodness, look how old Sarah was when she had children.
Yep.
I think I've mentally, I've moved past, like I've come to terms, children probably aren't going to be in our cards, and I'm really okay with that. But if God gives us children, I'm not going to be mad. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. I'm just going to be like, oh my gosh, God, I'm too old and I'm tired for this. Is there someone we could give them to? You know, I think it would be more like that.
Well, I don't need more kids. I don't. I think I can confidently say that the two of you would be amazing parents.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have some some things that you're thinking about that you want for your next? I feel like your whole job is an adventure.
Oh my
your
goodness,
whole
yeah.
life is an adventure.
Besides meeting the Togolese president, I would really like to. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to this in life. Like, I would have to really prioritize it. But I think I would like to do one of two things, and these are different. But I would like to learn how to code, or I would like to learn how to play electric guitar.
Ooh, those are very different from one another.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, right now, every day, I'm doing a little lesson in SQL, SQL queries, and just learning about SQL. But, you know, that's, you know, bite-sized chunk. I'm not really prioritizing that. So,
okay.
But there are so many, like, I love music, and so there's so many guitar, like, that I'm like, oh, I would love to listen to, or I would love to be able to play what I'm listening to right now, you know? At least, yeah. And not, like, master it necessarily, but at least be able to jam out and sing, you know?
Yeah, totally. Are you, do you sing?
I mean, I like to sing, but all my music is like screaming stuff. So, you know.
You can scream.
Dude, I don't know if I told you this. I was recovering from being sick after getting back from the Gambia. And so I was feeling good, feeling better. And so I was lip syncing. I was lip syncing to a Lost Prophet song, and I think it was Lost Prophet. I can't remember. Maybe it was Rage Against the Machine. I don't know. I pulled my pectoral muscle by lip syncing too hard.
Andy Elizabeth Ann, how do you do that?
Because I was lip syncing the scream so hard. I was into it, man.
Oh my gosh, Andy. And you said that on air, and it's been recorded for everyone to hear.
Ellie was like, Dad, what? Why are you moving like that? I was like, oh, I'm really sore. I pulled a muscle. She was like, how? I was like, I was lip syncing upstairs.
Thank you, Ro, for your children.
this is my life. This is my life. All right. This is the M6P. Jared, thank you so much. You can email us at m6plc@gmail.com. Call us if you have something on your bucket list. If you have a friend that you talk to comics about, call us. 616-755-TINA. We can either put it on the air, or you just tell us about it. That's fine. Either way. And go to our website, themsickp.com.
Yeah. All those things, of course, we are on every social you can think of. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all the big ones. Check us out. Do a search for the M6P, and that's where you'll find us.
We are sponsored by CRPSavings.com. That is our Office Depot Office Max partnership. If you need better prices on office supplies, if you need bulk buying power without buying in bulk, we can get that for you. CRPSavings.com. You can just go ahead and email, and we will hook you up with an Office Depot Office Max rep who can get you better pricing on whatever you need. CRPSavings.com.
We're also sponsored by MichaelWebSolutions.com for all of your SEO and marketing needs. Check out MichaelWebSolutions.com. And lastly, we have our own product here, the Marvelous Box. So go to themarvelousbox.com, and for $25 every quarter, you'll get over $100 worth of Marvel graphic novels delivered right to your front door. Throw in $5 shipping, you're good to go. You can check out some unboxing videos on YouTube for a small selection of the titles that are available to you. Books are brand new, they're not used, and we curate each box especially for you. So check out themarvelousbox.com.
All right. Until next time, make yours the M6P.